What is NIOSH?
NIOSH is a research institute dedicated to the conduct of research that evaluates the potential hazards in the workplace. So our focus is worker health and safety, and our mission is to conduct research that improves worker health and safety.
And you yourself, you're focusing on nanotechnology, is that correct?
That's correct.
So you've been in Edmonton for a few days touring around. What is it that you've been doing here? What are your observations?
Well, we've been on a very busy and aggressive schedule of visiting a number of organizations here in Edmonton, the University of Alberta, along with the National Institute for Nanotechnology and some other affiliated organizations. And observation is this is a very busy center and a very good number of research projects undertaking various aspects of nanomaterial science. As far as our objective here, well, this is an introductory visit. NIOSH in the U.S. is the premier agency for research on worker health and safety and worker health and safety implications of nanotechnology and nanomaterials. And we're looking for opportunities to collaborate with the center here on similar topics and topics of mutual interest.
Now, I had the opportunity to listen to your lecture at the University of Alberta this afternoon, and one of the things that you brought out is that previously you worked in the private sector, and of course now you're in the public sector, being a part of the Nanotechnology Research Center and NIOSH. What is it that you bring to this position, having come from the private sector and now being in the public sector?
I think what I bring back to NIOSH with me from working in the private sector is a better understanding of the challenges in the development and the commercialization of new materials and new products, a good understanding of what the business needs are in moving forward with any new venture and any new material, but also a healthy respect for the science that is needed that supports decisions that business managers and regulators need to make in evaluating any new technology, such as nanotechnology.
So what you're looking at is worker safety or occupational safety surrounding this new field of nanotechnology, the research and the production. What are some of those hazards that you're looking at?
Well, one of the primary concerns we have is we're looking at a new generation of materials, in some cases some brand new materials, in other cases the new form of familiar materials, all wrapped around the new way of doing material science. We call it nanotechnology. In reality, it is our ability to manipulate materials at the near atomic scale and build things in a different way, but also to capitalize on new properties and new behavior of these materials to make many existing products better and possibly come up with some new novel or revolutionary products that'll help with a lot of our societal concerns right now. Better ways of producing and storing energy, better ways to clean up water and produce food crops, better ways for delivery of medicine and drugs. So nanotechnology has great promise, but along with it, as we have with any new technology and any new materials, questions about are there hazards that are associated with these materials and what are the risks involved with developing and commercializing any of these materials and how does one go about managing those risks. So that's the big picture of what NIOSH has as its mission, which is to conduct research that evaluates any of these potential hazards and risks and work with the companies who are developing these new materials and these new technologies to manage that risk so that we can achieve a good, responsible development of the technology and introduction of the materials.
These materials and the hazards that they might pose for workers, when I think of workplaces in the past, you know, perhaps there's toxic chemicals or things you could have skin burns or breathe in particularly bad particles. What is it that you're looking at? Is it that whole general range, or are there specific areas that you think are more of a concern than others?
Well, we're certainly concerned of wherever there's a broad scope of possibilities and looking at the different kinds of hazards. Based on our history with other particulate or airborne materials, we do have a focus on inhalation toxicity or the hazards associated with inhaling any of these materials by workers and by other individuals as well. with our focus being on workplace exposure, we are looking at and evaluating hazards associated with inhalation. That drives our toxicology program inside of our institute in looking at inhalation exposure to a number of these materials in animal models. Certainly, we need to understand how that translates to and may have impact on human exposure and human health. So that's our primary area of concern. We've done some work in looking at the change in the explosion and fire potential for materials when they are now made in the nanometer scale, and they are different, so we need to evaluate and in some cases reevaluate the risk management practices that people have in place to manage these materials. So it's a pretty broad scope with primary focus on inhalation exposure.
When we talk about a nanotechnology workplace, really a lot of this is the research lab, isn't it? Because this is such a new area. A lot of stuff is still being worked out. It's not necessarily out there in the manufacturing yet for consumers. What do you say?
Well, I say yes and no. There is an awful lot going on in research labs around the world to develop new nanoscale materials and to come up with applications of those nanomaterials. But at the same time, a number of the initial nanoscale materials are already being used in consumer products around the world. Examples I gave today include nanoscale titanium dioxide, nanoscale gold and silver, are already in several products around the world. So we do have to do a bit of a catch up with what's happening in the commercialization of these materials, as well as keep our eye on what's coming out of the research labs that will be the next generation of these products.
What is the workplace like? Do people wear suits?
Well, the workplace, the thing that's very interesting but also very challenging is there is no nanotechnology industry. Nanotechnology is the new way of doing material science. So you will find the use of and the application of nanomaterials in construction, in material fabrication, in the plastics industry, in electronics. So there's no one industry sector where you can point your finger and say, this is the nanotechnology industry. Your question about are workers suited up or are they taking protective measures? Probably the most encouraging thing that we have seen in our field studies and investigations is that employers in the workplace, for the most part, are very receptive to improving their practices, learning what they need to do right, and they value our input and our guidance because they recognize the value of their commercialization of these materials.
What studies have you done in order to look at what some of these airborne hazards are?
Well, NIOSH has a very active toxicology program, and so a very logical starting point for us is to evaluate whether we see any health effects following inhalation studies with these materials. What kind of effects have we seen? Some of them have not been surprising to us. NIOSH has a long history in studying health effects from inhaling particulate material, especially small insoluble particulate material, which does describe a number of these nanoscale materials. What we needed to evaluate was the extent and the potency of any of these materials. And that's a nice way of saying, did we see anything different and are these more or less toxic than other materials that we've studied over the years? And if they were more toxic, how can we evaluate them and how can we give guidance on employers and employees on how to protect themselves? The thing that's important for a lot of us to understand is the nanoparticle or the nanomaterial itself is seldom the final product. It's always used in combination with many other things to make a lot of existing products better or to help move us towards some new generation materials that still use and take advantage of the nanomaterial, but the nanomaterial itself soon becomes only a small part of the final product. So we want to work with the employers to make sure that they have good practices in place while they're handling the pure material before it becomes blended in with many other materials.
Well, it's not exactly that you're reinventing the wheel, because risk assessment and these sorts of things have been going on for decades. And what I found interesting is that you drew some parallels between some of these new materials, like carbon nanotubes or the fibers, to, for example, asbestos. What are the similarities there, and what are some of the differences?
Well, you're right. We have learned an awful lot over years and from the history of doing health and safety research and risk assessment and hazard evaluations. And it's a logical question to ask. What do we see as far as similarities with other materials and the historical perspectives from other material investigations? The question about carbon nanotubes and asbestos comes up a lot, and that's mainly because physically carbon nanotubes do resemble in many ways asbestos fibers. They are long, they are thin, they are persistent, meaning they will stay in biological systems long, and they are durable, so they don't dissolve and they don't dissociate. So it was natural for NIOSH to take a look at carbon nanotubes and see, would we see some of the same effects with carbon nanotubes as we have seen with other fibrous materials, primarily asbestos? The answer is we are seeing some similarities. That leads us to recognize that we need to do more research to see how much further along we will go in trying to identify whether we see similar health endpoints that have been seen with asbestos. That's work to be done yet, but we certainly have enough evidence right now to say that good risk management practices at this point are a very prudent pathway.
And what are some of the health effects that you've observed in these studies, for example, with the lungs, the heart, or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Some of the health effects that were identified very early on in our toxicology studies with these materials include pulmonary or lung inflammation, inflammation of the deep spaces of the lung, which is where we are most concerned because that's the primary point for gas exchange in the lungs. So inflammation of the pulmonary areas, followed by fibrosis. In some cases, some of these materials result in fibrosis within the lungs or the growth of collagen fiber in the lungs. It reduces the elasticity of the lung. It reduces the lung's capacity for air exchange. So any material that results in fibrosis in the lungs is certainly a negative event we want to eliminate, and we don't want to see that occur. Other health effects that we've seen aren't so much health effects as they are evidence in looking for additional health effects. We have seen that certain types of carbon nanotubes can move from the inner spaces of the lung to the outer spaces of the lung. That's important because that's one of the mechanisms that fibrous materials such as asbestos and fiberglass have followed in some of our toxicology studies. What we don't know yet is if we will see any health effects as a result of that migration out into that pleural cavity that surrounds the lung. A lot of materials do move from the lung out into that pleural space, but then are ultimately cleared from the body. We need to understand if that occurs with carbon nanotubes or not. So that's one of the indicators of a health effect we want to evaluate. We haven't seen the health effect yet.
So what can be done to prevent these things from happening?
Well, that's a real good question because that's really the call to action right now to everybody working with engineered nanomaterials. There are some very effective risk management practices that can be put in place. And by risk management practices, I mean ways to contain the materials, ways to eliminate worker exposure to these materials, and ways to handle and manipulate these materials so you don't have the airborne exposure that would result in some of these health effects. And I have to say, too, that there aren't any reports of, and we don't have any evidence of health effects in humans, but we'd like to not get to that point. We know we see some of these health effects in animal studies, in laboratory animal studies. And so that gives us, I think, a justification for taking a more proactive position on instituting risk management practices that will eliminate worker exposure. Ventilation controls, containment control systems that exist, where those may not be available or aren't in place yet, worker protection using respirators, respiratory protection. We have demonstrated that those are effective when we challenge a number of respirators with engineered nanoscale materials. So there are a number of things that employers can do now today for their workers to eliminate the potential for any exposure.
And are you working on guidelines for people?
Yes, we are. We have issued one guidance document already on nanoscale titanium dioxide. We have in draft form, and we're in final review stages of another document on carbon nanotubes and carbon nanofibers. But we also point to a number of other general guidance materials that NIOSH has released just on general control of dry powder and fine powder particulate material.
You're working on this in the United States. What's happening globally?
Well, this is a challenge for the rest of the world. Nanotechnology is not focused within any one country. Everybody sees the tremendous potential for nanomaterial science to solve a number of society's needs and problems today. And so every country is involved in looking at developing and commercializing engineered nanomaterials. So a lot of what we're doing in the United States is very parallel to what is going on and is needed with many other countries. So it truly is a global issue. And within that, NIOSH is looking for ways to collaborate globally with good partners on solving some of these problems.
Bottom line then is, what can you say to the public to say that the introduction of nanomaterials is being done in a responsible way?
Well, what I want to say to the public is, like many new materials and new technology introductions, it needs to be done in a responsible manner. I'm personally very encouraged that a lot of effort is going into the development of good, responsible techniques to develop these materials and introduce them around the world by all parties involved, not just researchers like me, but NIOSH, along with other organizations around the world, and private sector organizations, companies, labor organizations, academic researchers are all at the table now today saying, let's work on solutions to these questions rather than wait for something to happen and then drop back in a retrospective manner and say we should have addressed this while we were developing these materials. So the best message to give to the public as they keep their eye on where are the nanomaterials going and how are the applications going is to know that they're being done in a very safe, responsible manner and that they will be delivered to market in a very safe manner.
So in a sense, you're looking at prevention, whereas perhaps previously other industries had to deal with things after the fact as we found out things.
You're exactly right. I think this is a golden opportunity for us to, as many of us would say, get it right up front and get it right the first time rather than wait and do it after the fact.
Thank you very much, Charles.
You're welcome. My pleasure.